3, 2, 1. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pube. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, former booker and mind behind the 83 Weeks of Dominance, mind behind the NWO. He is, of course, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, JP. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. It's just it's a crazy world in that wrestling world that I feel like there's so many different shows that are out there, but I don't know, does the amount of fans, does it equal the amount of shows that are out there? You know what I mean? Because WWE has four shows, AEW's got three shows, going to be four shows, MLW has a couple shows, Impact has shows, NWA. Like, does the amount of shows out there make sense to you as far as the wrestling world and where we're at in the business?
Wrestling is so cyclical. You know what I mean? Think about this.
Yep.
In the 50s, which was the golden age of pro wrestling, right?
Yep.
They had two network, nationwide network TVs out of one city. I don't know if I have the days correct, but Monday and Wednesday was on the Dumont Network, and it was Fred Kohler. Tuesday and Thursday was on NBC or ABC, and it was Lenny Schwartz. They had Hartford Heavyweight Championship Wrestling, at least from the East Coast to Chicago. I don't know if it could be picked up after that, if they actually did that. What was that? Kaleidoscoped it to the West Coast. They had Texas wrestling that went from Texas to the Northeast. And they had California wrestling that was on almost every night from California to Chicago. So, and then what happened? Oversaturation.
Yep.
So I think we're seeing it, and then remember the boom of the Hogan era?
Yes.
We saw everybody pop up with a show.
Yep.
I think it's the same thing. I mean, it's supply and demand. Wrestling's easy to produce. You know, think about, I saw something, and again, I'm not sure if these figures are still right because it was a long time ago when I read about it. To get a Steinfeld episode, you know, you have to buy X amount of them. And it was $2 million an episode.
Yep.
So, you know, wrestling's fairly cheap compared to that stuff. So, yeah. the numbers aren't generating. I think they're splitting the wrestling world, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. And it seems like just with wrestling in general, it just seems like everything is like either kind of stagnated or going down, except for WWE. And all their numbers, even their ratings are up. It's crazy. It's like the WWE is back, you know, back at the helm. They're back in the saddle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we talked about that. And I think, excuse me, one of the things we talked about, correct me if I'm wrong, was that Bloodline story.
Yep.
Going back again now, would you pull, I'm going to be out there in L.A. this week, or next week. Would you pull the plug now?
Man, it's hard to say. Unless Jey Uso costs Roman the title. Like, I don't know, how could you take the title of him? I know Cody's hot, but Roman is the man.
Jay, I mean, the storyline can go on forever, and they can redo it. Maybe Roman needs some time off. Do you think that's possible?
It's definitely possible. He might need a vacation or some time off, yep.
And the other thing is, once they break this, I'm not sure you can put it back together.
Wow. Okay.
Because when something like this is going on, everything works. Like, I'll give you an example. And I'm sure other people pick up on it. Remember when they had a meeting of the minds in the ring, the bloodline?
Yep.
And I believe it was Jay that said something, and Roman snapped at him, and he said, Roman, and this was ad-libbed, you could tell. He said, leave Jay alone. He's not feeling oozy today. And you, yeah. You remember that one?
Yes. Yep.
They all were hiding their faces. Remember that?
Yes.
They went on to make a t-shirt about it. Feeling oozy today, right?
Yep.
And it sold billions.
Yep. It sold really well, yeah.
When you're on that kind of roll, you're on a magical tour, you know, like the Beatles, or is it the Rolling Stones, a magical mystery tour?
Beatles, yeah.
Yeah. Brother, this doesn't come along very often. And once it's snapped and broken, sometimes the magic goes away.
Hopefully it doesn't, though.
Yeah.
Because if you know, WWE, you know, as good as they do, I feel like others can follow suit. I guess it's just hard right now. It's just oversaturation. There's so much other wrestling. I know AEW sells good ticket wise, but just the ratings have not been good.
They sell good ticket wise.
Yeah, it's been down compared to where they've been. But, like, they have a show coming up called Forbidden Door where they team up with New Japan. They sold 13,000 tickets already. So, I mean,
wow.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I know they did a house show in Ohio, and that only drew 3,000. But I think there was only 3,500 tickets available. It wasn't like a huge building. So, you know, that was a small show, and that's a house show. I think they're kind of testing the market to see, you know, if they're hot or not, or if they could still really, you know, if they could really sustain doing more house shows.
You know, this is just me. Would it be feasible for them to put Sting in somebody they thought was hot and call it his final tour or some, give it some kind of cool name, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, everybody loves Sting, right?
Oh, yeah. If you could pay him enough to do the house shows, he didn't really do house shows in WCW either. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, we don't know what his contract is, but I mean,
no.
People would love to pay to see him, right?
Yep.
So
for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they need to stretch their legs too, don't you? They
yes.
Need to get out there.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's why Jeff Jarrett's there. Yep.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
So, as far as the topic at hand, wanted to talk about Polynesian pro wrestling over there in Hawaii. I know we were kind of saying that you know them near and dear to your heart. You're part of the Vice TV documentary about them, Details from the Territories, talking about Polynesian pro. Just how did you kind of get over there into Hawaii and get a part of that organization?
What happened was Mark and I, we left Florida and we were working in for Mario Cervoli, and we still work in Florida some. And we actually were working in San Antonio for Luke Williams some. And then Mark was living in Hawaii and he knew Leah. And we went over there, and they were only running in the Von Erichs were running it, but they were only running it like once a month, and they weren't, you know, it was like a offshoot to Texas. They weren't really spending a lot of time in there. And Mark and I went in there, and we got to book it, and I was there for 9 months. And when we started it, the biggest house they had ever drawn was 13,000 people. 9 months later, we had the 31,000 people lower stadium with a big house, and I think it was more than that. But we had gone from once a month to once every 2 weeks at the big building in Honolulu. But we ran Pearl Harbor every Friday night. Then we decided to run the whole territory, Maui. We would go to the Big Island of Hawaii and run Kona and Hilo. So we run all those. We were working five, and we had TV, live, not live TV, but taped. And we were working 5 to 6 days a week. Beautiful, no big traveling, you know what I mean? You'd fly into an island, and that was like a 20-minute flight, and then fly back the next day or fly wherever you were going. And then they opened up Samoa and Singapore and Malaysia with Steve Rickard. So, I mean, it got to be quite a deal. And then something happened, and it might have been the same time, if you watch that, or even if you watch The Young Rock, about where they said The Rock's grandmother, Leah, was trying to put the muscle on her, the wrestling group. And, you know, they had to go to court about it. So I don't believe, you know, I think some people set her up for some reason. But, I mean, it was a great run, and the good thing about it was Barbara and Noki let their guys work on the same show.
Yep.
So, I mean, and then we had guys coming from Japan. Bro, you'd be there. Hansel would be there. Noki himself. I mean, then the guys that worked on WWF at the time could work with guys that worked for the NWO, you know what I mean? I mean, NWA.
Yep.
Me and Mark worked with Morocco and Fuji one time. So there was she did really, really good. And she knew, she actually knew what she was doing. She was a very smart lady.
What did you think of Leah Maivia like when you first met her? Because I know when you go over there, she's in charge, but technically the high chief, obviously, Peter Maivia is first in charge. Yeah, he passed away and she kind of takes over. Like, what did you think about her?
I thought she was a lot smarter than people gave her credit for. And Lars Anderson was there, you know. If you watched, do you ever watch The Young Rock? I just started to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once in a while. Know,
they got Lars pretty well hit, right?
Yeah.
But she could keep him in line. She could keep him in line. And she could reach out to the community and get things done. She was very, very popular in the community. And then, you know, I believe the first time we went to Samoa, she got the airlines to give up tickets free. That's not an inexpensive ticket. She went to Samoa Air and got Air Samoa, whatever it's called, and got them to give them tickets. We took a whole crew over there, you know what I mean? And then the hotels, which was beautiful in Samoa. We stayed at these like treetop hotels that was just, you know, it's like something you see out of a movie. The rooms are entwined in these big banyan trees. It was wonderful. And the food, excellent. And then going to Singapore and Jakarta. And she made friends with a lot of people. And she was smart that she hooked up with Steve Rickard, because Steve had been the promoter in New Zealand and later Australia too. But actually, I believe he's the guy that sold his percentage to the high chief, Peter. He owned part of Hawaii. So Steve had been around that Pacific Rim for years. So she hooked up with him and she got, he was very gracious to her and opened a lot of doors for her. So it went from a little promotion to really doing really, really well.
When you look at it too, it's like, wow, a woman, right, is kind of in charge, and maybe in an era or a time period that you didn't normally see that. Was that something where it took a while to get respect, or no, she got respect right away? It didn't matter if she was male or female.
No, it didn't take any time for her to get respect. She was Leah, Peter's wife. You know, Peter was very, very respected and odd in the wrestling community. Peter was one of the greatest athletes I ever saw. I mean, he was about 6'1". He had ankles the size of a Clydesdale horse. I mean, he had 28-inch thighs. I may be short, giving him a short count on that, too. I mean, big barrel-chested. And he could vertically leap from the ground like Brock does.
Yeah.
To the red side. He could do that to a there's only one other person I've ever seen this do it. It was Ming. He could do that to a bar. He was a great athlete. So, you know, and think about this. They came out of Samoa in the 50s, and that was, you know, in the 50 years prior to that, there was still cannibalism going on in Samoa. You know, Margaret Mead wrote that book, Coming of Age in Samoa.
Hmm.
I mean, think about where they, how much they conquered from where they came.
It's amazing the respect factor for her. Is that just because, you know, because she was, you know, married to the high chief, or what was it about her that she got all that respect?
I think it was that, first of all, she was married to Peter. People were on Peter. And the Samoan community, that was where it really, the seed was planted, you know. It goes back to when Peter was in San Francisco. The reason why the Wild Samoans, Fonseca got in the business was they were protecting Peter, you know. And they said, we can't have this. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to smarten them in. So Peter's really the seed to the Samoan dynasties. You know what I mean? You could look back. I think we're on our fourth generation of Samoan dynasties now. And lineage. And Peter was the start of it. And Peter wrestled all over the world, too. He was a big card in England. Were you aware of that?
No, not at all.
Big card in England. Big card in New Zealand, too.
When you look at Polynesian Pro, it's got an affiliation with the NWA? Is it, like, loosely affiliated? Is it really part of the NWA, or is it not really part of the NWA? No,
I'm not sure if she was paying dues, but Flair was recognized as the world champion. And he come there, you know, a couple of times. He was on the big show, but he had been there before. I think he wrestled Saruta there one time, Jumbo Saruta.
Yeah, Flair's there not often, but, I mean, he went there a few times for sure.
Yeah.
When you look at it, though, when a high chief passes away and she takes over, it's almost like, that's when the resurgence happened, or that's when it got really super popular, right? It was her at the helm is when it really took off.
Right. And she did, this was her idea. She had Mark and I talk down to the Samoans, and especially talk down to her. You know, you couldn't get away with what we were saying now, but she's the one that told us to say it, you know. And we're talking about in the mid-80s. It was a completely different time and era. But we got all the heat of the world by beating up the Samoans in the ring and going after her and somebody saving her, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And they allowed us to get all kinds of heat, and we weren't the only ones either. I mean, I brought in the Sheik. I brought in Abdullah. we had some hardcore guys coming in, and it was like there was a faction getting rid of Leah and her boys saving the company for her. It was almost like, you know, in a way, she was the first baby face that I can remember, person in charge, right? Person of authority. So can you remember anybody being owning a company, being a person of, you know, baby face of authority?
Figure not that early on, no.
And that was her idea. It was a good one.
People liked her. They trusted her.
Yeah. I'm sorry that territory went away. I really am. That was a wonderful place. It was a wonderful place to work. I mean, you can't, you know, live. People talk about territories. I don't know if they could ever come back, but Hawaii was one of the most beautiful places to live and work. You know what I mean?
The weather, right? I mean, that's got to be a huge selling point.
Yeah, and if you like the water, if you like the scuba dive or snorkeling, it's just breathtaking. And the other islands, I didn't even mention it, Kauai and Lanai. What, Kauai is where they filmed the plane. What was that one? Fantasy Island. I mean, there's some beautiful, beautiful, almost untouched places around there. Back then, you got to remember, this is, again, 30-something years ago, there was a lot of untouched places.
When you look at that territory and you look at, like, the island boys like Siva Afi and stuff like that, who did fight Ric Flair on the big show in the main event, but how come Lars Anderson was such, like, a big baby face and such a big part of territory? Why was he over as a baby face? He's not, you know, an island boy.
He bought in, maneuvered his way into owning points there.
How did he do that?
Lars is a pretty smart guy. Do you know, Lars was one of the first guys to ever own T-shirt shops in the United States.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had them like 35 of them in a mall across the country. So he's not a dumb guy. He was a good businessman, and he moved to Hawaii and saw, this is, again, when she was, Peter had just died, she was kind of alone in the wilderness, and Lars sold himself, and he saw wrestling in a different way, where the other people that were going to her were selling themselves to her. As, you know, well, I need to be on top. Lars was not saying that.
It's just funny that the locals, like, took to him for some reason. Like, why do they like him so much?
Well, because they saw what he could do, but they almost killed him on the island a couple of times.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah. They hit him with dumbbells and dropped him in the water. Yeah.
Wow. Shit. So literally almost killed him. Saying, like, wow, yeah. Oh, my God. He was up to some shenanigans, right? I mean, he did get in trouble. We can kind of say that, right?
Yeah. He, you know, Lars, he knew how to go over the line and piss people off. Do you know what I mean? He really did. Now, I never had much problem with Lars. I always got along with him. But I kind of knew, he kind of knew that I knew him. You know what I mean? And then, like, Mark knew him. So people that he knew him, he wouldn't try to bullshit them. But other people, he would intimidate.
When you look at some of the island boys, who was some of the island boys that were over? Obviously, Siva Afi was, like, a big star for them. But who else was some of the big island boys that got really over there?
Peter's son was there, too. Prince, what was his name? Prince, he didn't go as the same name. He He was Prince something, I forget. And then Curtis's son, Rocky, was there. Then there was... did you ever hear of the guy Milo, Farmer Milo?
Was it Farmer Boy Ippo, wherever? I've seen the name. Yeah, Farmer Boy. Yeah, he was an island boy, like a weird name, though.
Yeah. But he was, when we went to the island towns, the smaller ones, he was really over. You know, their gimmick was over.
Yep.
A lot of people don't realize there's a lot of farming in Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't even realize it. That's why I was like, who's this Farmer Boy? I keep reading about Farmer Boy.
Yeah. And, you know, at one time, that Parker Ranch was the largest cattle ranch in the United States.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. So he was over there, too. Like, some people get over in certain places for things. Nice guy. And they blended a lot of locals with guys that were coming through, or guys who would come over and stay for a month, 6 weeks. It was good. It was really good how they did it.
Was Gypsy Joe like a big mainstay over there, or not really?
No.
Because I've seen him pop up on a few cars over there. I was just kind of surprised. I'm like, wow, he was over there? Like, everybody probably wanted to go over there at one point.
Lawler would come a couple of times.
Yep.
He came. You know, the Von Erichs would still come. So it was like a open door policy. Anybody could come. Like I said, where Noki and Baba's guys working on the same card, you know?
Yep. It's amazing that like WWF guys, like you were saying before, could be there. NWA guys could be there. New Japan guys, All Japan guys, and they could all be on the same show. And none of the guys like Vince or Baba or Noki or even, you know, Crockett, nobody said like, I don't want him working on the same card as this person. I know Crockett at one point would say, well, I don't want Flair, that film, like you guys can have the show and whatever, right, but I don't want you showing that film on your TV because Flair's our champion. I know like sometimes they drew a line in the sand, but for the most part, they didn't draw any lines in the sand for as far as that promotion, right? They gave him a lot of respect.
Yeah, they sure did. And it was only towards the end where they were saying, you can't show that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I mean, they also had a national TV network, you know, that was crazy what they were on. They were on a national financial network. Do you remember that?
Yes. We were talking about that. I don't remember what episode or what we were talking about. We brought that up, and I just thought that was so crazy. Like, how is that? How did that happen? How is that possible?
That was Liza's brilliance, that he couldn't get a national program any other way, and hey, enough people saw it that it made it look bigger than it was.
Yeah, I know somebody that an older school fan was mentioning that to me, and actually, you know what? It might have been your boy Julio De Niro, Julio Sanchez. He might have been talking about it, because he was saying that's how he used to watch it, was on the financial network, and I was just shocked by that. But that's awesome. That, you know, yeah. So kind of cunning to do that.
Yeah, it was.
So Morocco, like you mentioned, you're wrestling him there. He's a WWF property guy. You know what I mean? That, you know, then you're wrestling Andre. He's a WWF guy. Then you're, you know, it's crazy like that promotion, but it's so cool if you think about it for those fans that you're getting to see the big stars, not was the big stars, currently the big stars from the other places in your town. It's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, Snooker at that time. And,
yep.
Me and Mark were tag team partners with Bundy a couple of times. So
Bruiser Brody shows up. Yeah,
Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen. It was, and like I said, Inoki came over. So it was really a potpourri of wrestling around the world. It was very good.
Your boy, the Maniac, Mark Lewin.
Billy Robinson. We got some Nick Bockwinkel. Crusher and Bruiser for a show. We had the Road Warriors for a show. We had Henning. You know, we had almost everybody that was around in the mid-80s we had on that show.
when you look back, there were some crazy matches too. Like, you're involved in a barbed wire match and with Brody, and you know, a few others. You're in a blindfold match with CV Afi there, the legendary CV Afi. Was that exactly what you think of, like, blindfold match, like Jake Roberts, Rick Martel style? I mean, we're talking 1985 here. What's the blindfold match?
The blindfold is, you know, it's like a hood. It's like a pillowcase with your arms can go through, but it covers your head and you can see through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty entertaining. That was Dusty's idea.
So who's booking, though, like over there, though? Are you a part of the booking? Is Dusty part of, like,
who's... I was booking it at the time, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they trusted you with the book?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember who was the booker before you and who was the booker after you?
Well, Lars was booking some of it, and after me was Rocky. Yeah.
It's just funny, like a blindfold match, you think yourself, like, wait, 1985, blindfold match? WWF stole that from somebody? That's great. Where did that originate from, like, that idea?
That was Dusty's idea.
He just made it up?
Yeah, we had wrestled so many times together. He was coming up with, you know, something different. He came up with it. It was great. And doing with him was really a good time.
So I want to talk about a hot summer night, which was the big show for Polynesian Pro. The Aloha Stadium, you were mentioning before. The attendance, we don't know the exact number, but they say it was over 30,000 were in attendance that night. So, I mean, it was the packed house regardless. But the card was crazy. Were you in charge of booking that card and bringing those guys in? Because, man, if you want to talk about star-studded in 1985, this card might be it. I mean, this is better than, like, a WrestleMania card. This is huge.
I had something to say with the Hawaiian boys, but not the Crockett people. And that's where I saw the first crack. I saw, they got their foot in the door. You know, the Crockett's.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, at the end of the night, like, nah, Flair versus CV Afi for the NWA title, you're not going to show that. So everybody's probably seen many of the other matches part of that card. They probably haven't seen that one, unfortunately.
No, they haven't. There was a hell of a match.
So if you just go down that card, if you look who's on it, I mean, just amazing. Jimmy Snuka is on it. Tatsumi Fujinami is on it. Steve Regal, not the Steve Regal everyone knows, but the famous AWA wrestler is on there. You got the Samoans on there. You've got Gypsy Joe, like I mentioned. So Dusty is on the card. Magnum TA is on the card. Nikita Koloff is on the card. Rocky Johnson's on the card. The Dirty White Boys are on the card. Obviously, yourself is on the card. Bruiser Brody is on the card. Mark Lewin is on the card. King Kong Bundy is on the card. Antonio Inoki, Ric Flair, and of course Andre the Giant. I mean, stacked beyond stacked. And this is 1985. This is August 3rd, 1985. WrestleMania just passed 5, 6, 7 months earlier, whatever it was. I think it was late March of 85. So 5 months earlier, basically, WrestleMania passes. And this is a WrestleMania-esque card here. I mean, this is huge with all these names.
Yeah, it was well done. But like I said, they got their foot in the door, and I saw trouble coming.
The only thing you could look at, you're like, okay, Inoki versus Brody goes to a double count out. And it's like, okay, you know, there's not a finish to that, but maybe the main event. The main event with Siva, Afi, and Flair goes about 26 minutes, and it's a double DQ. So your final last two matches are kind of, you know, schmazes, if you will, no finishes. So I think that kind of hurt a little bit, just as far as, I mean, the tremendous star power. Even Bad News Brown is on the card. Didn't even mention him. But it's just, I think that hurt a little bit.
I think it hurt quite a bit. And this is, up until that time, I had been given free reign. That day, Leah came to me and said, I'm going to the business with Jimmy Crockett. I'm going to let Dusty do the finishes. And I said, okay. But I knew something was up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be a great... That's when Dusty always wanted to... We were actually in San Francisco from Tampa for a while. And Dusty, rightfully so, always thought he could get the West Coast going. He could have. San Francisco, L.A., and it's just a quick jump to Hawaii, you know what I mean? Yep. And if they had their tapes, they would have done well. So I'm not saying I belittled them for doing that, but I understood what they were doing. She was going to be a real minority shareholder when they got through, and they weren't going to share anything but Hawaii with her.
And a year later, in 1986, August 9th, 86, so basically a year later, they run the Aloha Stadium again in Honolulu, Hawaii, and they only drew about $10,000. So it just seems like, man, like, I mean, excuse me, 10,000 people, not 10,000, 10,000 people. So, man, it's like, man, that's a quite, you know, you're losing third your audience there, and you still had Bruiser Brody, still had the Sheik, still had Antonio Inoki, Lars Anderson is still there, Jerry Lawler is on this card, Great Muta, Bad News Brown. So, I mean, the names were still there, but you just weren't drawing as good a year later. It just definitely hurt.
Yeah, and without, and the show before, every baby face went over. Just about that meant anything.
Yep. So
that hurt too.
And when you kind of just looking at it, it's like, okay, 85 is the high point, but then they're basically done and out of business in 88. So, I mean, that's not that long, you know, 3 years or so to kind of, and we've seen it with WCW too, but it's just like one of the things where it's like, wow, the high point is it's so high and it's so great. 30,000 people, the Andre the Giant to the world, Ric Flair, or you're selling out this huge stadium, and then boom, the downfall. What kind of led to downfall and led to the downfall that quickly?
Well, they started saying, I left after that show. What they did was they said to her, we can save you on expenses. We'll send you a tape. So they stopped really doing any kind of taping, and they were sending them tapes of people they weren't going to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
So it was the Crockett tape coming in. They would run once in a while, and they weren't sending everybody. They weren't sending Flair. They weren't sending Dusty. They were sending good talent, but not what the people had been watching. So, you know. It was like the same problem they were having themselves, the Crockett's.
It seemed like, wow, like this is such a great promotion, such a great place to work, great place to go. And then just like that, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, just like that, it's gone.
Yeah, I loved it there. Loved it there.
What do you think is the legacy of the promotion? What would you say? Like, what would you think of?
It was the first time that I could remember during strict competition that it was an open city. It was like things you see in a movie, Shanghai, it's open city. Anybody can work with anybody. You know what I mean? It was great. It was great.
Polynesian Pro, and it was obviously so memorable and so good. There was a Dark Side, not Dark Side of the Ring, but the guys who created Dark Side of the Ring had a Tales of the Territory about it. If anybody hasn't seen it, definitely check it out because you'll see a familiar face on there as Kevin. You're a big part of the Polynesian Pro, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and Downtown Bruno or Rocky Maivia, not Rocky Maivia,
IAK.
Yeah, IAK, Rocky Curtis's kid. So it was very interesting.
And Lars, shockingly, yeah. Makes a surprise. Yeah. Not a surprise appearance, but surprised that he's on the show. But yeah, he was on the whole episode, which was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool.
So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. You can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Kevin, what else is going on in your world? What else you got going on?
I'm going to L.A. next week for signing autographs at the convention there. So please come below and say hello to me, and I'll see you soon.
Yes. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hand with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.